Greetings. We're back. Today we're looking at John chapter 1, verses 19 to 34. I've labeled this passage, the Jewish leaders asked John, "Who are you?" And this is a focus of this section. By way of review, we've covered the prologue in some detail, John 1 to 18. And we've seen that Jesus is the Word, the Logos of God. He is eternal. He is God. He is life and the light of mankind. Jesus is God, but he lived in a human body. He is full of grace and truth. Jesus is the source of grace and blessing, and out of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. And Jesus makes known to us what the Father is like. So before we begin, as always, we want to prepare our hearts and pray and ask God to open our eyes and our hearts to hear his word. Hear the word of the Lord today. Just one thought. We'll see in this passage, John the Baptist came preparing the way of the Lord, and we'll see that he was very humble. He didn't claim anything about himself. Humility is a very key and absolute necessary requirement of coming to God. It says in 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you came to this world and humbled yourself and went to the cross for us. And we pray that you would teach us your humility and that we may humbly come to you and receive your grace and mercy, and that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. And may Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. So who are you? This is what they kept asking John, but he kept telling them who about Jesus. He answered the question, who is Jesus, but didn't talk much about himself. So let's begin with verse 19. This is John's testimony. When the Jews were sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, who are you? He declared and didn't deny. He declared, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. John the Baptist is one of the most important persons in the Bible. He is mentioned at least 89 times in the New Testament. And he had the special privilege of introducing Jesus to Israel and of preparing them to receive the Messiah. He called them to repent of their sins and to prove their repentance by being baptized and then living changed lives. The Jewish leaders in Jerusalem had sent people to find out about John and who he claimed to be. He clearly said he wasn't the Christ or Elijah or the prophet that Moses talked about who would come in the last days. And so they kept asking, who are you? He said, I'm not any of those people. And then in verse 22, they said, therefore, to him, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Well, how did John describe his ministry? This is one of the meditation questions. And he answered from Isaiah's prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. He quotes this in verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one in the wilderness crying, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Well, if we look at this prophecy, I'll read what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So before kings or royalty or important people traveled to a certain area or city, workers would go before them way in advance and prepare the roads for travel. They would straighten out the roads, fill the potholes, and would try to make everything ready because a king was coming. The prophecy in Isaiah 40 continues with verse 4. He says, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places plain. The prophet Isaiah was not referring to physically doing road work, but he was talking about preparing people's hearts to receive the Messiah. And this was John's message. He told people to get ready for the coming of the Lord. He called people to repent and to change their hearts and their behavior. Preparing the way for the Lord means to deal with the crooked paths and to straighten out our lives. To prepare the way of the Lord, we must deal with areas of pride and boasting in our lives. It says every mountain will be made low. We must deal with the potholes and obstacles and things we stumble over, the rough ground in our lives, areas that don't please the Lord. We prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts by turning from evil and doing good. This was John's message. We talk about revival and desire to see a mighty work of God in our world, but the question is, are we ready to prepare the way for his coming? Are we willing to deal with our own hearts and lives so that God can powerfully work through us? If we want to encounter the Lord, we must prepare our hearts to meet him. Isaiah's prophecy continues in verse 5 with this wonderful statement, a prophetic statement. It says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The glory of the Lord was revealed to mankind through Jesus, and I believe that we will see even greater in these last days before Jesus returns in great power and glory. Verse 24, the ones who had been sent were from the Pharisees. They asked him, why do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? Why do you baptize? John answered them, verse 26, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you don't know. He is the one that comes after me, who is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loosen. These things were done in Bethany. By the way, there's two Bethanies, it seems like. The one, the village where Mary and Martha lived, and scholars don't really know where this Bethany was located. I know that's not such important information, but somewhere near the Jordan River where John was baptizing. And how did he answer this question about baptism? Why did John speak so humbly when talking to about Jesus? Well, John answered their question in a very wise and humble way. He claimed nothing about himself. They asked, who are you? He just kept telling them about Jesus. This is the model we should follow. Paul said, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. People need the Lord. They don't need to see our abilities or our talents or our greatness. We need to point them to the Lord. John the Baptist said, he who is coming after me is more important than me. I baptize with water, but he baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and I am not worthy to loosen his sandal straps. John knew that he was preparing the way for the Lord, the Messiah, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think this is why John didn't boast about himself or his ministry. Even though Jesus said he was the greatest person that had been born among men, if we understand who Jesus is, we really don't have anything to boast about. And I think this was John's perspective. Verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why did John refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God? This is another meditation question. I urge you to take time and answer all the meditation questions we've provided. They'll help you dig deeper into the passage. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's also called the Lamb of God in several other passages in the Bible. But the people listening should have understood and should have taken note when he said, look, the Lamb of God, the Passover lamb had been deeply embedded into the minds of Jewish people. It was the last plague upon Egypt before Israel was allowed to leave. God brought death to the firstborn of every household that did not have the blood of the lamb on their doors. God told the people through Moses to sacrifice a lamb for each family. They were told to take blood from the lamb and blot it on the door frames, on the right side, the left side, and then over the door, the frame above the door. And it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And so every home that had the blood of the lamb on the door frames, the Lord passed over them. And then finally, Pharaoh agreed to let the people go. And of course, the Passover festival is still observed by Jews to this day around the world. There were also daily and annual sacrifices of lambs as prescribed by the law. One of the most important passages about Jesus, the Lamb of God, is found in Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus came not to be a great teacher or a moralist. He came to die for the sins of the world. He is the Lamb of God. John said, it says in verse 30, "This is whom he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I didn't know him, but for this reason I came baptizing, that he would be revealed to Israel." This was John's ministry, to prepare the way. Verse 32, John testified, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending like a dove out of heaven, and remained on him." This Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus was a sign to John. The Holy Spirit descended, and John knew that through this sign that Jesus was the promised Messiah, that because the anointing of the Holy Spirit was a sign of his Messiahship. And God told him in verse 33, "I didn't recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, on him is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.'" John's baptism with water was a sign of repentance and an expression of one's desire to obey God and to change their life and heart. But Jesus is the one who would make it possible for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Before Jesus came, God anointed people with the Spirit to do his will, and we read stories in the Old Testament of the prophets and great people of God. However, the indwelling presence of God was not available to every individual because Christ had not yet died to cleanse us from our sins and make us right with God. After Christ died and rose again, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promised blessing of the Holy Spirit, which was poured out on the church in Acts chapter 2. This is a simple illustration, but it was like, suppose there was a town or community that previously had a well that only special people had access to on special occasions. They could drink the water. But one day, living water is piped to every home so that they could freely drink it at any time. Well, this is what happened. The Holy Spirit was present and in working but not indwelling each believer in the Old Testament. But through the work of the cross, he made it possible for every believer to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the water is not piped to our houses, but Jesus promised that the living water would flow continually from our hearts like a spring of living water. And he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, I have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. This was the main focus and confession of John the Baptist. Jesus is the Lamb of God and the Son of God. As the Lamb of God, he died for each one of us and for the sins of all mankind. He paid the price of our salvation with his blood, and that blood cleanses us from our sins and washes us as white as snow. And Jesus is the Son of God. And I want to state again the promise and statement of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. This price that Jesus paid as the Lamb of God, his own blood, that is available every day to everyone who turns to him. By faith, putting their faith in him can become children of God. So if someone is listening today and you have not yet put your faith in Jesus, now is the time. His salvation is available today. Receive Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior by believing him and believing that he died for your sins. As it says in verse 12 of John 1, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the privilege to become children of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lamb of God. You came into this world and suffered and died as a sacrifice for our sins. You are our Savior and Lord. Shine the light of the gospel into the hearts and minds of our friends and families and communities and nations. Thank you that today is the day of salvation because of the cross. And now is the time of your favor. May anyone who is listening to this teaching receive you today. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.